This is Colossians 1, 11 to 20. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of Christ.
Let's pray. Jesus, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand and accept all that you have for us this morning. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Please be seated. He has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The domain of darkness. I read a description of this domain of darkness this week that I really appreciated. The domain of darkness is no figure of speech. It is the truest map of this present world. Its borders are older than the mountains, older than the seas, older even than the first morning light upon Eden. It is the kingdom where truth is unwelcome, where light is resisted, and where the chains are so familiar they are mistaken for jewelry. The prophets saw it in visions of exile. The apostles warned of it in letters. And the Son of God himself spoke of its ruler as the father of lies. Every human born of Adam's line enters this world within its borders. We breathe its poisoned air from our first cry, inherit its customs without instruction, and bear its citizenship without consent. Here, good is called evil, and evil is called good. Here, the path of life is mocked, and the gates of death are dressed as triumphal arches. We labor for bread that cannot satisfy, and drink from wells that deepen our thirst. We are born into the domain of darkness. The domain of darkness is the groaning of creation, the cry of the captive, the ache of the hungry. We see its signs all around us every day, and the weight of it presses in on us. And sometimes it's hard not to feel despair at what one commentator calls all the noise of still pompously ruling empires. And we know to what that is referring. Darkness seems to be reigning in our gospel passage as well, both literal darkness as the sun refuses to shine, but also figurative darkness as the air is filled with cruel words, mockery, and ridicule. And all of it is centered on this man hanging on one cross in the middle of three crosses, the one with the sign above his head proclaiming him to be the King of the Jews. The leaders of the people, the ruling authorities, are mocking him, scoffing at him. The Roman soldiers are joining in the fun, mocking, laughing. Even the thief on the cross beside him is deriding him. And all of them are crying out, "Save yourself! Save yourself! Save yourself!" This is a key message of the domain of darkness. Save yourself from the pain around you. Listen to our false promise. If you stay healthy, if you eat right, if you get your checkups, all will be well. If you do the right things, you will have no pain. Because pain is to be avoided at all costs, it says, this domain. And if it can't be avoided, it should be numbed by any means possible. Drink more, eat more, buy more. Because pain leads to death, and death is to be avoided. Save yourself from denial, the domain of darkness says. Never say no. Live all the experiences. Buy all the things. Eat and drink and be merry and never ever say no to your desires. Because saying no leads to death. And death is to be avoided. Save yourself from scorn, says the domain of darkness. Save your reputation. Deny, deny, deny. Hide whatever truth makes you look weak. And if you can't hide, attack. And turn the attention away from yourself. Don't show weakness, because weakness leads to death. And death is to be avoided at all costs. He saved others. Let him save himself. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself. The mockers think that they know that Jesus can't actually save himself. And that's part of the fun that they're having. Part of the mockery, part of the cruelty. Get down from the cross. Because if he can't save himself, then clearly he deserves what he's getting. You brought this on yourself, sticking your head up above everyone else, as if you were a king. How dare you? And then in the midst of all this rage and all this darkness and all this mockery and hate, suddenly a different conversation comes through. And it's as if a radio dial is turned a little bit, turning from a station that is filled with darkness and with hatred and with pain to a station that is filled with peace and light and joy. Or it's like if you're getting your eyes tested and the tester just turns the knob a little bit and suddenly everything is clear. A different reality comes into light, into focus. The kingdom of God, hidden behind all the noise like a sun behind clouds, suddenly shines out as the second thief looks past Jesus to rebuke his fellow thief on the cross. "Don't you get it?" he says. "Don't you get it? We are the guilty ones. We are the ones who belong here. We are the ones who deserve this. He doesn't. Not him." Have you ever thought to wonder how the thief knew that? Was he part of the crowd of 5,000 people that got fed? Or maybe he heard Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount, or saw somebody being healed. Or maybe he was just watching him as he was crucified and saw that there was something different about him. And somehow in the midst of his pain, he's able to accept that he is being justly punished, but Jesus is not. He's given eyes to see that the sign hanging above his head that reads the King of the Jews is telling the truth. And so his cries don't take the same form as all the others. Everyone around Jesus is crying out, "If you are the Son of God, prove it to us by saving yourself." And the thief doesn't ask to be saved. He doesn't ask Jesus to prove anything. He simply asks that Jesus will remember him. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. When and not if. What a beautiful statement of faith that is. When you come into your kingdom. And Jesus in turn promises, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. You are already in that kingdom just by saying those words. You are transferred into the kingdom of light. And Jesus does exactly what all the mocking voices tell him to do. He saves someone. But it isn't salvation from the Roman Empire, and it isn't salvation from pain or from the cross. It's salvation from the domain of darkness. The kingdom where death is not the end, to be avoided at all cost. That's where he is saving them into. A short time ago, I watched a movie called Dead Man Walking. And this movie, it's an old movie, it's from 1995, starring Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn. Susan Sarandon got an Oscar for it. It's a very good movie, but it does come with a content warning because it's rated R, so just saying that. Sean Penn plays a man who is trying to avoid death at all cost. He has been convicted of brutal murder, and he is on death row, living under the death penalty. And the title of the movie comes from a phrase that was once traditional in American prisons for men who were living under the death sentence. And guards would lead them down the hallway calling out, "Dead man walking, dead man walking, dead man walking." And Sean Penn's character, Matthew Poncelot, spends all 6 years of his time on death row fighting his sentence, proclaiming his innocence, saying that he has been wrongfully accused, he does not deserve what he's getting. And you see his arrogance, and you see his hatred, and you see these negative sides of his character, but all along he's protesting, "No, I'm innocent." And finally, he turns to a Catholic nun for help. And she comes to him, they form a relationship, she tries to get an appeal for him, which fails, but she also tries to help him in another way. And she pleads with him to face the truth. She doesn't know what the truth is, but she asks him to face the truth. She says redemption is possible only if he takes responsibility for what he has actually done. And finally, just before he is about to be executed, Matthew Poncelot breaks down in tears, and he admits that he has done everything that he is accused of. And he repents, and he says he hopes that his death brings peace to the families that he has hurt. And he pleads for forgiveness. And Sister Helen says, "You are a son of God, Matthew Poncelot." And Matthew cries even harder, and he says, "Nobody ever called me no son of God before." He says, "It about figures I would have to die to find love. It about figures I would have to die to find love." And just like that, by facing his death, Matthew Poncelot is transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's still on death row, but for him, death has become a gateway to life. Colossians tells us that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That transfer of citizenship is instantaneous. Today, you are with me in paradise. And the thief wasn't saved from suffering or pain when he was on the cross, but he was remembered. He was put together into wholeness in a way that he had never been whole before, transferred from that domain into the domain of light. The Bible tells us that we are all born into the domain of darkness, all of us, dead people walking, dead person walking. All of us, under the sentence of death, all of us condemned rightly. And we are trying so hard from our birth to save ourselves from this domain of darkness and death. And the act of baptism is a declaration that we are giving up trying to save ourselves. And that we are trusting in the King hanging upon the cross to save us. The imagery of baptism is the imagery of being plunged under the water into death and being raised up to new life with Christ. And that's what the sprinkling of water symbolizes, is the death and resurrection. Given new life, life in the kingdom of God. And in this new life, we're given gifts to enable us to grow more and more like the King. We're given Jesus' own strength for whatever comes upon us, whatever life brings. We're given his ability to endure suffering. We're given his patience and his joy. We're given his forgiveness that he models so beautifully on the cross when he looks at the very people who are causing him pain and says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." C.S. Lewis says, "We are now enabled to forgive the inexcusable in others because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us." Andrew, I'm so excited for you. I've said this before. Baptism is the beginning of a whole new life, a new life in the kingdom of light, a life of belonging to that kingdom and discovering the King of the kingdom, because he's what it's all about. Gradually being shaped into his likeness, reveling in who he is, this glorious King who has rescued us from the domain of darkness. And I'm going to use the words of Colossians to describe him, because who can improve upon that? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things in heaven and on earth hold together. They were all created, visible and invisible. All things created for him and by him and through him. He himself is before all things, holding all things together. And just pause for a moment and think about what that means. Are you feeling like you are falling apart some days? Jesus is holding you together, and he will continue to hold you together through this life. He's the head of the body, the church. He's our leader. He's here today. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, the first in everything. He died before us so that we need not fear death. We need not avoid it at all costs. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is our King that we get to live with and rejoice in all the days of our life, to get to know more and more and more. This is our King forever and ever. So let's worship and adore. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.